KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, we have a mostly clear sky, 65 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In Western Iowa news, Missouri River floodwaters have dropped enough for the city of Council Bluffs to drop some of its flood-related emergency measures. Council Bluffs Public Information Officer Don Gross said the city is no longer at an Alert 1 status.
River levels drop below 32 feet. We expect them to be at 31 feet in a couple days and then in the 30s.
The flood stage in Council Bluffs is at 29 feet. The Alert 1 status had been in place for more than 2 months. The Iowa National Guard has ended its patrols of the city's levees as the danger from the breach has greatly diminished. Gross said the Corps began to end their presence on the levees Tuesday evening and will be transported back to their regular bases both today and tomorrow. A flood-related call center in Council Bluffs is also closed, although the Alert 1 status is over. Grosch says there's still much to do. There's flood cleanup meeting tonight to inform residents the best way to clean up flood-damaged homes. And there is more good news. The Bob Carey Pedestrian Bridge connecting Council Bluffs and Omaha will reopen on the Iowa side Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. The Fort Calhoun Nuclear Power Plant is no longer under a flood emergency just across the Missouri River in Nebraska. OPPD Power District spokesman Jeff Hansen said the river level has dropped enough to allow them to lift the notification of unusual event.
We're happy to be able to get out of the emergency classification. It's been 85 days, so we're happy to be out of it.
And he says that the entire plant had been surrounded by floodwater in June. The plant was shut down for refueling before all the flooding began. Hansen said crews will inspect the plant inside and out and make all the necessary repairs before the plant is allowed back online.
We're not going to start the plant for production until we are absolutely certain that there's no damage done to the plant by all of the water that had been on the site.
Workers of the plant have already started the process of removing flood barriers around buildings and disassembling the elevated catwalks that workers used to cross the flooded parking lot. News time is 8:05.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, continued flooding along the Missouri River has forced the Iowa Department of Natural Resources to cancel a special deer hunt in Lake Manawa State Park near Council Bluffs. The DNR announced Tuesday that it was canceling the deer hunt, which had been scheduled to begin October the 1st. It says about 90% of the area where the hunt was to take place is still under several feet of water. Red Cross workers from chapters across Iowa are stationed along the East Coast, helping residents there recover from the weekend hit by Hurricane Irene. Danielle Schlegelmilch with the Heartland Chapter in Omaha Council Bluffs is deployed in Washington, D.C., where thousands of residents have been overnighting in Red Cross shelters. She says the damages range from North Carolina to Maine.
It is kind of mind-boggling to think about the number of people who are impacted. I think I heard a statistic that there are, you know, close to, is it 50 or 60 million people, and that would be about 15% to 18% of our population in the United States all lived in that affected area.
Schlegelmilch says most people have no choice but to head to a shelter for the basics of life.
Here on the East Coast, I mean, there's literally nowhere else for people to go when things like this happen, so they really depend on the Red Cross and our partner agencies to be there to be able to provide those essentials of comfort care, food.
Schlegelmilch was sent to Washington, D.C. last week to prepare for Hurricane Irene, but she got a bonus of sorts.
I actually was deployed for the hurricane, but ended up in an earthquake by accident. So it's been one of those summers that I couldn't have ever predicted. I've worked 3 tornadoes, a flood, a hurricane, and then was in an earthquake. So it's one for the books for sure.
Many people had remained stranded at airports with hundreds of flights canceled, and it could be weeks before electricity is restored in some areas as 4 million homes lost power in the storm. And at least 40 people died from Hurricane Irene in 14 states and territories. Flooding is now a big problem in Vermont, New York, and elsewhere. Schlegelmilch expects the Red Cross shelters will be open for some time as the region begins to recover. Damage may reach $7 billion. Elsewhere in the news, the Board of Supervisors in Adair County will discuss a redistricting and representing plan during their meeting this morning in Greenfield. That begins at 9 o'clock, with discussion about redistricting set for 9:15. The Adair County Supervisors will also set the date for a public hearing and the first reading of an ordinance on the matter. In other business, they'll receive and discuss correspondence with regard to Taylor Site No. 1, which pertains to a proposed large hog confinement facility. On August the 20th, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources denied a request to build a 5,000-head hog confinement in Adair County. The DNR said an evaluation of the proposal indicated it failed to meet the requirements necessary for approval. The Adair County Board of Supervisors recommended the DNR deny the construction permit because of problems with the application and community opposition. The operator of that facility, Twin Lakes Environmental Services, LLC, which is a manure management company in Rockwell City, had 14 days to appeal the decision. The Adair County Supervisors will also discuss this morning a petition for waiver or variance pertaining to the sanitary landfill, and they'll set the date for a public hearing on the first reading of an ordinance on the local option sales tax as it pertains to the city of Stewart. Other topics for discussion include a Cass County Hospital involuntary and West Central Mental Health contracts. And officials in the state's Workforce Development Agency have been touting their work to set up an access point system to replace 37 workforce development offices that are closing. On Monday, Governor Branstad told reporters he's confident he'll beat a lawsuit challenging his decision to close those offices. The agency at the center of the controversy issued a news release Tuesday touting the convenience of having virtual access points, or VAPs. Spokesperson Carrie Kuntz said the access points are set up in places like libraries, schools, and National Guard armories and offer more than you can get by just logging in on your own computer.
You can do a lot of it on the website, but there are pieces that aren't available across the website. You can't do the assessment testings on the website. It's just not a way we can program the system. We have live chat set up on these access points so that a person is in there, maybe you have a question you want to ask a workforce professional about it. We have our staff available from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, which is significantly longer than our 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday access right now.
Kuhn says the access points have more resources available and they don't take any special equipment. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds said she and the governor recently visited Denison and saw the value of the new system firsthand.
And the superintendent was there and he just opened up the high school with some additional access points in the evening hours.
Kuhn says you can still apply for a job or file for unemployment on the Workforce Development website, but the 135 access points will offer expanded services. Here in southwest Iowa, the VAPs will be located at libraries in Harlan, Atlantic, Sydney, Tabor, and Red Oak. Other locations include Southwestern Community College in Red Oak, the Taylor County Neighborhood Center, and Taylor County Veterans Affairs offices, both in Bedford, and at the Montgomery County Veterans Affairs office in Red Oak. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the danger from Irene isn't over yet for parts of the East Coast. Residents in Paterson, New Jersey, were forced to evacuate after the Passaic River crested. It's starting to recede now, though, and in Connecticut, the Connecticut River was 23 feet above flood stage and still rising. This morning, ground crews have been able to reach 10 Vermont communities that have been cut off since remnants of Hurricane Irene took out roads and bridges. Emergency management officials say they're still trying to reach Wardsboro, but many isolated communities have been given food and water. Nearly three dozen homes have been burned to the ground in wildfires in parts of Texas and Oklahoma. Drought conditions helped a fire in North Texas spread quickly, and fire officials expect it to be windy today. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma City, a local fire chief says a blowing embers likely started a fire that destroyed several homes and a church overnight. And there's a new report that says U.S. employers plan to cut another 51,000 jobs from the payrolls. Global consultant Challenger Gray & Christmas says the job cuts represent a 23% decline from July, when the number of jobs cut hit a 16-month high. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Dorothy Johnson, age 84, of Orient, died Friday. Funeral services for Dorothy Johnson will be today at 10 o'clock at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Charles Bud Stewart, age 84, of Panora, died Saturday. Funeral services for Bud Stewart will be today at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Amber Oberholtz, age 89, of Panora and formerly of Casey, died Sunday. Funeral services for Amber Oberholtz will be today at 11 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. 89-year-old Geraldine Rutherford of Guthrie Center died Sunday. Funeral services for Geraldine Rutherford will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. The Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. 102-year-old Lenore Mauck of Mount Clair, California, and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday. Graveside services for Lenore Mauck will be held Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Griswold Cemetery. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting the family with the arrangements. And 80-year-old Loretta Cable of Griswold died Monday in Lincoln, Nebraska. Funeral services for Loretta Cable are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Our news and funeral announcements brought to you this hour by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.